Welcome to the table. This is Sunday Spread, your one-stop shop for NFL news, hot takes, and weekly bets, where we break bread and everybody eats. My name is Brian Bracey, and I'm usually here with my boy, Mr. Watson. However, he's not here. He's not here today, so I'm here by myself. We had some issues, because just like we are not professional gamblers, we are also not professional podcasters. Although, I'm sure you're listening, you're like, well, this sounds pretty damn professional. We're not. We're just two guys that enjoy sitting in a studio, recording ourselves, talk about sports, football specifically. But when real life happens, we have to attend to real life. So with that being said, I do want to apologize for us missing last week. That was an example of life happened, and it was one of those things that we couldn't really get around. And this week, Watson's out because life is continuing to happen. Life doesn't just stop because Sunday spreads. And I wish it did. Like, I wish we got paid for this and we were able to do this professionally. However, we can't. So we're actually paying to be here. So we're the complete opposite of professional. So, but with that being said, I will be your single host today. And I hope you enjoy this listen. Like I usually do if I'm here by myself, I'm not going to go on too many tangents because it's kind of difficult to go on a tangent by yourself, unless you consider this a tangent. But I feel like I'm just explaining the situation, so I don't consider this a tangent. But yeah, we're gonna go through week 15. Well, first we'll recap week 14 and then go through week 15, give you our picks and everything. I have Watson's picks and some parlay pies to give y'all. Week 14 means, well, once you're in week 15 and week 14 has passed, that means fantasy football, you're either in the playoffs or you're not. And I'm going to go on a little tangent because I'm a little upset. So, as you know, as I've told y'all before, I run a 32-man dynasty fantasy football league. And if you're wondering what that is, that means there's 32 grown men who run their own teams. And we did one startup draft 3 years ago. And you keep all the players that you draft in that season. And you can trade them, you can cut them. And then each year we have a rookie draft. That's what dynasty is. It's a lot like real life, like the real NFL. One day I was just sitting around. I was like, wouldn't it be cool if you started a 32-man dynasty league? That'd be so cool. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. So I did it. And it's been running pretty smoothly. I have yet to make the playoffs in this league. And the first year, the team I drafted was terrible. Awful. I think I finished with the 7th worst team, but ended up like working some trades out, some crazy trades, and then built like a legitimate team. Like someone like, people were like, well, your team's a little stacked. It's a little unfair. But it's not. And I'll tell you why. So I end up getting like a high draft pick and everything. So I build my team. And then injuries happen. So the second year, I missed the playoffs by, I think it was 8 points. 8 points. So that just means that the guy in 8th place, because there's only 8 teams that make the playoffs, the guy in 8th place scored 8 more points than I did throughout the season, so he got in the playoffs and I didn't. Heartbreaking, right? This year, I have the 6th best team when it comes to scoring in the league. 8 teams make the playoffs. I have the 6th most points. I have the 7th best record. So you're thinking, oh, well, you definitely made the playoffs, right? Wrong. I missed the playoffs because we decided to divide the teams into divisions. So there's 4 divisions, 8 teams in each. The team with the best record in the division makes the playoffs. And then whatever team has the most points, not the division winner in each division, they make the playoffs too. And I missed out by 12 points. I finished 10-4. The guy who won my division was 11-3. And the guy who made the playoffs over me, I believe, was like 7-7. But he scored 12 more points. Now, why this happened? Injuries again. Chris Godwin got hurt. Chris Godwin, Rod God, was the number one fantasy wide receiver before he went down. I had him. Then he's hurt. I also have CeeDee Lamb. Dak Prescott gets hurt. Who's throwing the ball to CeeDee? Dak. So now CeeDee's production drops. But I find a gem, a diamond in the rough. Bucky Irving, running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I find him. Trade for him. I get him. And guess what? Week 14, when I need him to go off, when I need my team to score 12 more points than this other guy so I can make the playoffs, Bucky Irving gets hurt in the first quarter. He finishes the day with 2.8 points in fantasy. Heartbreaking. I missed the playoffs again by 12 points. So, my fantasy season is over, at least in that league, but I believe I made the playoffs in every other league. I think I'm in 5 total, and I made the playoffs in 4. But I feel like my best team was this 32-man, because honestly, I put time in, even in the offseason, like in the middle of February, middle of March, like I'm doing research. I'm hitting guys up in the group chat like, hey, I got a trade for you. Hey, what are you looking for this guy? Like, what's the price on this guy? It's like a legitimate part-time job because it's kind of like a dream. Like, as a football fan, I feel like if you're a diehard football fan, one of your dreams would obviously be playing the NFL. And if it's not to play in the NFL, it's either to coach or be a GM. I've never really had the mindset of like a coach. Like, that was never my thing. I was never honestly coachable as a player, so I never wanted to be a coach. But a GM, like, if I get to build this team and just like watch how everything fits together, personalities fit together, like, that's a dream. Granted, fantasy football, there ain't no personalities you got to figure out, but it's like, you got to figure out, like, okay, but if this guy goes down, I need to fit in this guy. And it's like, how can I find this guy to fit in to this gap? Because it's like, I need a running back, but I don't really have anything to trade for running. It's a lot, but I love every second of it, except when I miss the playoffs by a handful of points. Super disappointing. Okay, I'm sorry. I just had to vent about that. It's been a rough week. But let's get actually to week 14. Packers at Lions. Lions win 34-31. That was a great game. Division games have proven to, like, you never know what's going to happen. Like, on paper, you would assume, like, oh, the Lions are probably going to kill the Packers in this game. They're at home Thursday night. The Lions have been smacking teams up. Nah, barely got the win. Josh Jacobs is going nutty in the red zone. This was his second game with 3 touchdowns. But that Lions run game, man, David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, they're just, the power run in the NFL is back. Once teams decided, you know what, we're tired of these crazy high-scoring games and everyone just throwing for 400 yards a game, like, we're putting 2 safeties back and we're going to make you have to beat us underneath. That has brought back the running back. Where just a couple years ago, you had guys like Jonathan Taylor fighting for a contract, like, yo, pay me. And they're just like, no, we'll find someone to replace you in the 4th round and pay him pennies to whatever we're going to pay you. Eventually, he got paid, but it just shows you that, like, this copycat league where now it went from, oh, it's a quarterback-driven league. Now it might be a running back-driven league. Like, we might start seeing running backs going the first round again. Granted, we are starting to see that. We had Bijan going the first round a couple years ago and Jahmyr Gibbs going that same draft, first round. So we're starting to see it more, but I think it's going to become an even common, like, a more common thing again where it's like, first 10 picks, you might see teams drafting running backs, and it's like, whoa, when did this happen? But it's because that power run is back. Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon, Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, like, they're showing that you got to pay these guys and you got to keep them around. That 27-year-old little hill that they usually start to drop off, they're not dropping off. Like, yeah, you got the Zekes of the world and the Dalvin Cooks that did drop off, but these other guys, they're not dropping off. You build your offense around them. Like, honestly, in Green Bay, Josh Jacobs is the best weapon on offense. In Baltimore, if Lamar Jackson wasn't such a superhero, it'd be Derrick Henry. In Philly, it's Saquon. In Detroit, yeah, they got Amon-Ra St. Brown and J-Mo on the outsides, and they got Jared Goff, but it's like, yo, what is their true identity? It's running the ball. Pound it with David Montgomery, make you have to catch up with Jahmyr Gibbs. Oh, my bad. I don't know what that was. That was weird. I don't even know if you guys heard it. But, yeah, it was a good game. Detroit Packers. Detroit looks really good. Since the Cowboys are kind of out of it this season, like they don't have any chance of winning anything, I am excited to see the Lions and the Eagles clash in the NFC Championship game. Assuming they both get there, I don't really see anybody getting their way. And I see the Lions finishing as the one seed, the Eagles finishing as a two seed. That's going to be a fun game to watch because they both kind of have that same mentality. Like they're like bullies. Like they're going to try to bully each other, and it'll be in a dome. So like the Eagles aren't going to have this advantage of it being cold where it's like, oh, Jared Goff might not play well because it's cold or whatever it is. It's going to be in a dome, so weather will be controlled. So you're going to get the best from both teams. And I think I'm really excited to see that. Next game we had Jets at Dolphins. I don't know what the Jets are doing trying to win games at this point, but they were close. 26-32, Dolphins take it. Did this one go to overtime? I feel like it did. Jonnu Smith is a dog. I feel like a few years ago, it was like, wow, look at the potential on this guy. But then he like went to New England and it never really panned out. Everyone thought, oh, he's going to New England. Things are going to get crazy because you know how New England is with their tight ends. But now he's in Miami. And when Tua came back, Jonnu's been going nutty. He might end up being like top three fantasy tight end this year if he's not already. Yeah, he's been going crazy. He might be a fantasy football league winner. Next game we had Falcons at Vikings. Falcons lost 21-42. Kirk Cousins, I think that experiment is donezo. As soon as week 18 is over and the Falcons don't make the playoffs, they're going to be like, Kirk, where do you want to go? We'll trade you wherever it is you want to go. We'll figure it out. We just need you gone. And honestly, them drafting Michael Penix in this past draft, when everyone was like, nah, they're crazy. Like, what were they thinking? They clearly knew something. They knew something was up. Maybe it wasn't like, oh, he's not the same or his Achilles isn't the same. I don't know, but they knew something and they were like, we gotta be able to have a backup plan in case this doesn't work with Kirk Cousins. And it's not working. I forget the stat, like, but it was like in the last like four or five games, he has zero touchdowns and like 10 interceptions. He's playing awful. Like the game was close at one point, but then the Vikings just ran away with it. And Sam Darnold was going crazy. You would have thought like, oh, Kirk Cousins is going to come in. He's going into Minnesota. He's going to go off. He has to go off. No. Sam Darnold said, nah, this is my show. Jordan Addison went off. Justin Jefferson went off. Jordan Addison, that combo, I feel like it kind of gets slept on because Justin Jefferson, everyone's just like, Justin Jefferson's so amazing. But it's like, yo, Jordan Addison's a dog too. He's a dog. Next game we had Saints at Giants. Saints take that 14-11. Giants stink. I think they're going for the first pick. I believe they have the worst record. Them and the Raiders are tied for the worst record. But I think the Raiders have a better chance of winning a game. I don't know. Drew Lock looks really bad. He might be out of the league very, very, very soon. But I mean, that game was just boring. Oh, Derek Carr got hurt. So Spencer Rattler might be starting next week. Not sure. Derek Carr tried to like dive over somebody on the sideline, came down. And I believe he like broke his hand, left hand, I think. But yeah, it looks like his season's most likely donezo. Next game, we had Panthers at Eagles. Eagles take it 22-16. That was surprisingly close. The Panthers were one Xavier Legette drop away from taking that game in Philly. And that would have shocked the NFL world, honestly. Bryce Young has been looking really good. It looks like people wrote him off a little too soon. Maybe the benching for Andy Dalton was the best thing for him. Also, Andy Dalton getting hurt, forcing them to have to put Bryce back in might have been the best thing for him. He's playing at a different level. Like, he's not out there looking elite or anything, but it's like, yo, you out here keeping the team in games. Like, you look good, brother. You look good. So, I don't know. I think the Panthers might have something. So even if they get a high pick, they might just be like, look, we're just going to build around this guy, Bryce, where maybe the first half of the season, it looked like maybe they're giving up on him. But it definitely doesn't look like that anymore. The Eagles, though, what are you doing? Like, why are you playing with your food? You got to put the Panthers away. You can't give these other teams hope where it's like, yo, they barely got by the Panthers. We can go in there and we can steal some. Like, especially if you're going to be the number two seed, you're going to go in there playing a team with, in the playoffs, you're going to play a team with as a seventh seed who has nothing to lose. Nothing at all. So they're just going in there like, look, we barely got the playoffs. We're going into Philly. No one expects us to win. That's how you mess around and lose. That's how the Cowboys messed around and lost to the Packers last year. And honestly, that was detrimental to the organization. Like, after that game, the Cowboys have looked terrible ever since. So you don't want that to happen, Philly. And I know you Philly fans are listening. We're not the Cowgirls. Shut up. Just shut up. Next game, we have Browns at Steelers. Steelers take that 27-14. Pretty chalk. Browns are 3-10. Steelers are 10-3. That's how it should be. Steelers should win that game. Steelers still look good. I still don't believe the Steelers are contenders. Like, I don't see them getting past the Chiefs or the Bills in the playoffs. I don't see them getting past the Ravens. And Steelers fans can say, oh, well, we beat those guys already. That's nice. I don't care. It's not the postseason. When it happens in the postseason, cool. You can be on my back and you can be like, well, look what we did. But I don't see it happening. I don't see them getting to the Super Bowl. I don't see them getting to the AFC Championship game. Just don't see it. Next game, we had Raiders at Bucks. Bucks take it 28-13, the Battle of the Pirates. Baker Mayfield's out here throwing picks, but he's also throwing tutties. He kind of fell off towards the end of the season, but I feel like he could be a little banged up. Baker's one of those guys that doesn't really complain. Like, he could be hurt. He's going to go out there and still try to play. The loss of Godwin, Bucky being hurt. They're just a banged up offense right now. And I'm sure Mike Evans isn't 100%, but they still put away the Raiders. Granted, the Raiders are terrible. 2-11, most likely will be the home of Shador Sanders. The Raiders stank. Next game, we had Jaguars at the Titans. 10-6, Jaguars take it. The Titans were supposed to win this game, but this seems like a game where it's like, look, no one wants to win. Everyone wants to get as high a draft pick as possible. Nobody's trying to win this game, hence the 10-6. They're just like, let's just not score. If we don't score, then they can't beat us. I think there was like an episode of South Park like that where it was like a parody on the Bad News Bears, and like every team was trying to lose because they wanted to go home, but then like the South Park team kept winning because the other team were just better at losing. That's pretty much what this game was. Next game, we had Seahawks at Cardinals. Seahawks take it 30-18. They take the lead in the NFC West. That division, man. So we have the Seahawks at 8-5, Cardinals at 6-7, Rams at 7-6, 49ers at 6-7. I still have no idea who's going to win this division. I think the Cardinals lost it. I don't think they're going to win it. I feel like they peaked at the wrong time. If they were peaking right now, if they reach that peak of like, oh my God, the Cardinals might actually win this division. If it was right now, then it's like, maybe. But that peak was like 4 weeks ago, and now they're going downhill. The Seahawks, I feel like they've just been like consistently up and down. Like it's like a roller coaster, just constantly up and down. Like there's no super highs, there's no super lows. It's like, hey, we're going to be consistent. We'll win 9 to 10 games this year, but I don't know if it'll be enough to win the division. The Rams, 7-6. I can see the Rams going on a run. They just beat the Bills. I know I just jumped into the next game, but they just beat the Bills 44-42. I can see the Rams going on a little run, winning 11 games, taking that division. But then you also have the 49ers, who just put a slacking on the Bears, 38-13. And the 49ers are 6-7 right now. I feel like that's, oddly enough, that's the team I trust the most. Like, I think they have the talent, they have the skill, they have the coaching, they have everything. Grant, yeah, their guys are hurt, but I still think they're a better team than other teams in the NFC West. So a part of me is just like, yeah, just trust the 49ers to eventually go on a run, win the next four games, and take that division. But who knows? We'll see what happens. Then we had the Sunday night game, which we had the Chargers at the Chiefs. The Chiefs have been doing the same thing all year. Just, it's putting people to sleep. And I think it's hilarious that people are starting to write them off. They're like, they're barely winning games. They don't deserve to be here. They don't deserve to be 12-1. They don't deserve to be Super Bowl favorites. Bro, they're winning games. It doesn't matter if they're winning by one or 50. Like, all they're doing right now is building up a callus where it's like, look, we've been in this moment before. We've been here. We've been down 10 in the fourth quarter. We've been in close games where we need a game-winning drive. We've been here. We can do this. They ended up winning by a stoink off the goalpost. Game-winning field goal. And everybody's like, how do they keep doing this, man? Because if you keep the game close and it's a one-score possession and Patrick Mahomes has the ball in his hands, brother, you're losing. If you're not on the Chiefs sideline, you're losing. Patrick Mahomes is that guy. Yes, his stats don't say MVP, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because he is going to win the game. Like in the last 2 minutes, the man is unstoppable. Like, I'm pretty sure I saw a stat that, like, his career record when down in the fourth quarter is 500. 500. That means one in every two games, if he is losing in the fourth quarter, he's going to win. Bro, what? How do you put this man away? You have to be up 20. In the fourth quarter, but you're not going to get up 20 on the Chiefs. It's not going to happen. Their defense is too good. They're not going to allow it. And then when it's like, hey, we need points. All right, Patrick's going to go get you points. I feel like they're just out here fiddling with people, fiddling with the line. And they're doing whatever they want. And they're just luring people to sleep. So then when they get to the Super Bowl or even when they get to the playoffs and everyone's like, oh, I'm going to bet against them. Okay, lose your money. And when they get to the Super Bowl and they're playing the Lions or the Eagles and they're like, everyone in the world is like, we hate the Chiefs. We love the Lions. Bro, everyone loves the Lions right now. Dan Campbell. I love Dan Campbell. Everyone loves the Lions. It's such a feel-good story. They got the quarterback that everyone wrote off, got traded there. And we're just like, here, go to Detroit to die. They have this wide receiver who was sick in the head, who everyone wrote off, but he's just like, nah, like I have every wide receiver's name that was drafted before me, and I make sure I play better than them. Like, you have that guy. Everyone loves the Lions. So when they get to the Super Bowl and they play the Chiefs and the Lions are favorited and the Chiefs are underdogs, everyone's going to be like, I'm taking the Lions. Fuck the Chiefs. We hate the Chiefs. They're always winning. We hate them. They don't deserve to be here. They won 9 out of their fucking 15, 16 games by 1 point. We don't believe in them. And then it's going to happen. The Lions will be up by 13 at halftime. Going to the fourth quarter, they're up by 10. Everyone's like, oh, it's over with. 3 minutes left in the game, they're up by 6. Patrick Mahomes drives down the field, touchdown. Extra point. Doinks, but it goes in. Chiefs win, 0 time on the clock. Vegas is rich. That's how this works. Don't let them trick you. The Chiefs are still alive. They still have Andy Reid. They still have Patrick Mahomes. They still have Spagnola. They still have Chris Jones. Don't let them fool you. All right, that was a bit dramatic. Monday night game. Let's continue the drama. The Bengals take on the Cowboys. Bengals win 27-20. The Cowboys find a new way to lose a game. This one's fresh. This one's rare. This one's stupid. If you didn't watch that game, I'll tell you a little rundown. One, Ja'Marr Chase went absolutely bonkers. He went crazy. He was completely unstoppable. He made the Cowboys secondary look like goofs. But there was about 2 minutes, maybe a little bit over 2 minutes left in the game. Cowboys get a stop. Bengals are punting the ball. Things look great. The Cowboys are most likely going to get the ball, waste some time, kick a long field goal with Brandon Aubrey. It's automatic. They win the game. No time on the clock. However, Bengals are punting and the Cowboys block it. Even better. My first thought was, well, as a Cowboys fan, I'm like, I kind of don't want to win because I want a better draft pick, but also I want to see my favorite team win. So when the punt gets blocked, I'm like, cool. Now we're definitely going to win because we're just going to waste the time and then kick an even easier field goal. Brandon Aubrey, it's automatic. But then the ball starts bouncing. And a practice squad corner, he just got brought up to the practice squad. I know he played a little earlier in the season, but he didn't play too well, so he went right back down to the practice squad. But he got brought up for this game. I forget his name. It's a difficult name to say. I'm not even going to try to butcher it. The ball gets a bouncing. It comes to him. All he has to do is get out of the way. Just don't touch the ball. The Bengals will have to touch it. They'll down it. The Cowboys get the ball. That's what you're supposed to do after you block a field goal or a punt. You just get away and let them down it because it's your ball, no matter what. Instead, he tries to catch the ball. The ball bounces off of his arm. He gets clapped up. Free ball. The Bengals pick it up. The Bengals now have the ball with a brand new set of downs. And with that being said, Joe Burrow is going to tear you up because it's winning time and you gave him a second chance. That led to Ja'Marr Chase catching a touchdown, the Cowboys being able to do absolutely nothing on the offensive side of the ball, Micah Parsons storming off into the locker room without dapping up the other team or anything. He's about to cry. But the worst part of that game is DeMarvian Overshown is hurt. He tore his ACL, his MCL, and his PCL. So basically every ligament in his knee is gone. Snapped, crackle, and popped. Fortunately, I did just see before I got in here, there is no nerve damage. And there is no damage to the nerve. No nerve damage. I just said that. No nerve damage. And no meniscus damage. Now, there was a linebacker. I don't know if you remember him. I remember him because I'm a Cowboys fan. And it wasn't too far removed, but like if you're not a diehard football fan, you might not have known him. Jalen Smith. He was a linebacker for Notre Dame. He was potentially going to be a top 5, top 10 pick. He was that good at inside linebacker. But during his bowl game, which he didn't have to play, like I'm pretty sure coaches or someone told him, like, hey, you probably shouldn't even play in this game. There's nothing for you to earn. Like, it's not a national championship. It's just a regular old bowl game. You're projected to go top 10. You have nothing to lose. Like, don't play. You have everything to lose, nothing to gain. He played, tore his ACL up, had nerve damage, meniscus damage, to the point he ended up having drop foot, which is basically he couldn't lift his foot upwards. Like, he couldn't point his toes up. So then they had to, like, they gave him surgery, had to put him in, like, some kind of, like, brace to hold his foot up so he can, like, run. He was never the same. Cowboys drafted him, second round. He showed flashes where it was like, whoa, this guy has got some potential. But then it would kind of just fade away. He's out of the league now. He got drafted the same year as Ezekiel Elliott, and I believe he's been out of the league for the last 2 years, so he had like a 5 to 6 year career. And I believe he played for the Cowboys, and the Cowboys got rid of him, and then he played for the Packers, and he played for the Giants. And then it was just like, all right, brother, it's just not happening. I believe he sells sunglasses now. Like, he has his own company for sunglasses, I think. I don't know. But point is, when I saw the injury to DeMarvian Overshown, all I thought about was Jalen Smith, where all the potential in the world. Like, Overshown is a dog. Like, there's no way, even if you hate the Cowboys, if you watch a Cowboys game this season where he was out there, you had to be like, this guy is different. Like, he's everywhere. He can cover. He can tackle. He fills gaps. He can rush the passer. He's literally doing everything. Like, it's like having two Micah Parsons out there. And unfortunately, like, the Cowboys stuck Micah Parsons on defensive end, so it kind of limits his impact, but it was like having Micah and Micah. Like, hey, we have a Micah that can stand up, and we have a Micah that could put his hand in the dirt. This is great. And now, who knows if Overshown's ever going to be the same? I don't know. Hopefully. Based on his tweets, he seems like he's a dog. He seems like he's ready for this setback. He's ready to come back better. But, like, everybody says that. Like, everyone gets hurt, and they're like, yep, I'm going to come back even better. And it's like, does that always happen? Look at Kobe. I'm sure Kobe said it. He did not come back the same after that Achilles. RIP. But yeah, that was week 14. In a nutshell, it was a good week of football. It was definitely bittersweet because, you know, like, your fantasy football season's either over or you're in the playoffs. So it's kind of like, oh man, like, you're just, you know, like, I remember just watching it and I was like, I should just enjoy this for football because, like, football season's almost over. So let me just enjoy the football while it's here. But also, I was like, but Bucky's hurt, man, and I'm going to miss the playoffs, and this is stupid. And I don't even want to watch anymore. But I watched because I love football. And one day I'll be on here with Watson, and we'll be talking about how much we miss football in the middle of April. And we'll be talking about how we can't wait till the draft, and then we can't wait for training camp. We can't wait for preseason. We love football around here. But with all that said, let's get into our first sponsor. No, I'm just kidding. Still no sponsors. Probably because we missed last week. That's on me. But no, let's get into week 15. We have a Thursday night matchup with that NFC West division up for grabs. We have the Rams at the 49ers. 49ers are 2.5-point favorites. I like the Rams plus 7.5. Watson likes Rams plus 9. I think it being a division game, it's going to be close. I do think, like I said, I think the 49ers are going to take this division. So I think they have to go on a winning streak. And I think it starts last week against the Bears. And it's going to continue this week. But I think the Rams can keep it close. Like, it should be a good game. Over under in that game is 49. I bumped it down to 41.5, took the over. Watson did the same. Took 41.5, took the over. Next game, we have Cowboys at Panthers. This is yucky. Cowboys at Panthers. Panthers are 2.5-point favorites. That's how you know things are bad, when the Panthers are favorited, bro. Oh, man. It's hard being a Cowboys fan. I took Cowboys plus 7.5. Watson took Cowboys plus 8. So we're pretty much in the same boat. I think the Cowboys can obviously keep it close. They can obviously win this game. But the way Bryce Young has been playing, who knows? But yeah, we both got Cowboys plus some extra points. Over under in that game is 43. I took 51.5 in the under. Watson took 50.5 in the under. Next game, we have Chiefs on the road at the Browns. Chiefs are 4-point favorites. We both took Chiefs money line. I'm sure he's thinking the same thing I'm thinking. Don't trust the Chiefs, bro. When it comes to the spread, I'm not trusting them. They're going to win by 1.5. No, like not the spread one. I mean, they're going to figure out a way to win this game by 1.5. They'll figure out how to get a half a point. It's probably in there in the rule book somewhere, and they'll figure out how to do it. So, yeah, we both got Chiefs money line. Over under in that game is 45. I bumped it up to 50.5, took the under. Watson took 51.5, took the under. So we're both pretty close on that game. Next game, we got Dolphins at Texans. Texans are 3-point favorites. I'm taking Dolphins plus 7.5. Watson's taking Dolphins plus 8. So we're pretty close on all these games. You could tell like we have a show together because we're starting to kind of think the same. Over under in that game is 47. I'm bumping it down to 41.5, taking the over. Watson is doing the exact same thing, 41.5 in the over. Next game, we have Jets on the road at the Jaguars. Jets are 3.5-point favorites. I like Jets money line. Watson likes Jags plus 10. Over under in that game is 40.5. I like to bump it up to 50.5, take the under. Watson bumps it up to 48.5, takes the under. I don't see too many points being put up in that game. One, the Jets offense is struggling per usual. Granted, they put 26 up last week, and the Jags defense is boo-boo. But I don't see Mac Jones putting up too many points because I'm pretty sure Trevor Lawrence is out for the season after he got clapped up a couple weeks ago. Illegal clap up. Like, I don't want you to think like, oh, he said he got clapped up. Does he think he deserved it? Do you think that was fair? Nah, that hit was dirty. Now, do they need to adjust the rules on quarterback sliding and all that? I don't know. That's a conversation for the offseason while Watson and I are both here. But it was dirty, and you can't be doing that. Next game, we had Commanders at Saints. Commanders are 7-point favorites. I'm taking Commanders minus 1.5. Watson likes Commanders minus 2.5. Over under in that game is 43. I'm bumping it down to 36.5, taking the over. Watson is doing the exact same, 36.5, taking the over. Next game, we have Ravens at Giants. Ravens are a whopping 15-point favorites. Sheesh. I'm taking Ravens minus 10. Watson likes Ravens minus 9. Over under in that game is 43. I'm dropping it down to 34.5, taking the over. Watson is bumping it up to 50.5, taking the under. So that might be one of the first games that's like, ooh, they definitely on different sides here. That might be the one that splits us on the good old percentage. Next game, we have Bengals at Titans. Bengals are 5-point favorites. I like Titans plus 7.5. Watson likes Bengals money line. Over under in that game is 47. I bumped it down to 42.5, took the over. Watson bumped it down to 40.5, took the over. Next game, we have the Patriots at the Cardinals. Cardinals are 5.5-point favorites. I like Patriots plus 10.5. I feel like that is the most common bet that I've put out this season. And for the most part, they've done me well. Like, I'll have to look back and see like the percentage on that, but it's got to be over 50% when I pick Patriots plus 10.5. Watson likes Cardinals minus 2.5. Over under in that game is 46. I like 54.5 in the under. Watson likes 53.5 in the under. Next game, we have Colts at Broncos. Broncos are 4-point favorites at home. I like Broncos minus 1.5. Watson likes Broncos money line. Over under in that game is 44.5. I bumped it down to 36.5, took the over. Watson likes 52.5 in the under. Next game, game of the week material. We have Bills at Lions. Lions are 2.5-point favorites. This game has some potential. Like, this could be the Super Bowl. It could be. Like, if any team is going to take down the Chiefs, it would be the Bills. If there's any team to get out the NFC, it would be the Lions. So, yeah, I like Bills plus 7.5. Watson likes Bills plus 8. Over-under in that game is 54.5. I bumped it down to 46.5, took the over. Watson bumped it up to 59.5, took the under. Next game, we have Bucks at Chargers. Chargers are 3-point favorites. I like Chargers money line. Watson likes Bucks plus 5. Over-under in that game is 45.5. I bumped it up to 56.5, took the under. Watson bumped it up to 53.5, took the under. Steelers versus Eagles. Eagles are 5-point favorites. I like Eagles minus 2.5. Watson likes Steelers plus 8. Over-under in that game is 42.5. And I like 34.5 in the over. Watson likes 35.5 in the over. Next game, we have Packers at Seahawks. The Packers are 3-point favorites. I like Seahawks plus 7.5. Watson likes Packers money line. Over-under in that game is 46.5. I like 38.5 in the over. Watson likes 38.5 in the over. Next game, we have Bears at Vikings. Another divisional game. Vikings are 7-point favorites at home. I like Bears plus 14.5. Watson likes Vikings minus 3. Over-under in that game is 43.5. I would like to bump it down to 34.5, take the over. Watson's bumping it down to 38.5, taking the over. And the last game of the week, even though I think the Bears and Vikings are both on Monday night. Bears and Vikings are on Monday night and Falcons and Raiders are on Monday night. I'm pretty sure. Could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure. But last game of the week, Falcons at Raiders. Falcons are 4.5-point favorites. I like Falcons money line. Watson likes Falcons money line. Over-under in that game is 44. I like 53.5 in the under. Watson likes 51.5 in the under. So those are our picks for week 15. I appreciate you rocking with us. But before I let y'all go, parlay pies, baby. Let me tell you our Thursday night parlay pizza brought to you by Popeyes. Yeah, this Thursday night parlay pie brought to you by Popeyes. We like George Kittle over 3.5 receptions. Cooper Kupp over 4.5 receptions. A Kyren Williams anytime touchdown. And I like Matt Stafford over 225 passing yards. I feel like the sketchiest one out of this is that Stafford over 225. But I feel like he's going to have to throw that ball. Divisional game. He's going to have to put up numbies. 49ers are going to come out hot. Hot, hot, hot. So, yeah, they're going to have to put up numbers. So, we got Kittle over 3.5 receptions. Kupp over 4.5 receptions. Kyren Williams, anytime tutty. And Matt Stafford over 225 passing yards. That's our Thursday night parlay pie. Now, let me give you the Sunday parlay pie. So, we have... For Sunday, I like Commanders money line. They're playing the Saints. They need to win to basically stay in that wild card hunt. They're in the wild card right now, but if they start to drop games to teams that they're better than, like the Saints, yeah, the season's over. So yeah, I got Commanders money line, and I like Chargers money line over to Buccaneers. You might be thinking, that's a little sketch. I just feel like the Chargers are a good team. I think the Bucs are a good team, but they're a little banged up. I think the Bucks will keep it close. That's why I'm not taking any points. But I do like Chargers money line. I also like Ramondre Stevenson over 60-plus rushing yards. Last week, Zach Charbonnet tore the Cardinals' defense up. I think Ramondre Stevenson coming off of a bye is going to be fresh, rested. He's going to go a little nutty. So, if you got him in fantasy, start him. So, yeah. And then lastly, I have Josh Allen over 2-plus passing touchdowns. He's playing the Lions. The Lions will be putting up points. The Bills are going to have to put up points. After last week, where Josh Allen put up a total of 6 points, give him the MVP. He's the MVP. There's no question. Josh Allen, this is his year. This is his Cam Newton year. With that being said, Chiefs, look out. Nah, I don't know. But no, seriously, this might be his Cam Newton year, and this could be the year that he makes a little run. Who knows? But yeah, that's Sunday Parlay Pie. We got Commanders money line, Chargers money line, Ramondre Stevenson over 60-plus rushing yards, and Josh Allen over 2-plus passing touchdowns. And with that being said, here's a disclaimer. We are not professionals. Ask my mom, because we haven't hit a parlay to save our lives. But she still loves me, though. I hope. Just kidding. I know you love me, Mom. So yeah, disclaimer. We are not professionals. Please bet responsibly. Don't go out here betting a mortgage on these parlay pies that we giving you. It's good. Throw a little $5, a little $10, something with a little extra cash. You know what I'm saying? A little Dunkin' Donuts running in the morning kind of thing. But be responsible. Talk to the people you love before you go out there betting. If you know you got a problem, make a phone call. Know what I mean? So, yeah, that's my disclaimer. Also, before we get out of here, I do want to just, like, bring awareness to just like seasonal depression, man. Seasonal depression. Life be lifing. And it's that time of year where I don't know how it is on the West Coast. If anybody's listening to West Coast, if you're listening to different parts of the country, I don't know. But if you're on the East Coast, it gets dark real quick. Like, I'm talking 4:30, 5 p.m. And it's like, oh, it's nighttime. It's time for bed. It gets pretty depressing when you clock in. It's kind of dark. And then when you clock out, it's dark. Pretty depressing. So for your homework, I want y'all to reach out to somebody that you love, even if they're the funny friend, especially the funny friend, especially reach out to the funny friend, because nobody reaches out to the funny friend. Everybody thinks, oh, that's the funny friend. They're doing good. They're always doing good. They're always laughing. Hey, a sign of depression is when people are trying to make others laugh. Is that a telltale sign? No, but it is a sign, because it seems like they're trying to bring joy to a situation because they don't have it within. So they're trying to make sure everyone else around them is happy. And it kind of, they think it'll bring them joy, but it doesn't. So with that being said, just reach out to the people you love, give them a hug, send them a text. Hey, love you. If there's anything you need, let me know. Just need to talk, let me know. Because it's that time of year. And I'm not saying that depression doesn't affect people all year, because it does. From experience, it does. At any point, any time, life will be life, and it will get your ass. But especially speaking about seasonal depression right now, it's a tough part of the year. Holidays are coming up. That's a big struggle for a lot of people. So reach out to the people you love. Give them a hug. Give them a kiss. Love you text. Give them a call, something. Let them know that you're there for them. And if you're one of those people that are struggling and nobody's there for you, hey, I'm here for you. I'm telling you right now, I love you because you're listening. And even if you weren't listening, and for some reason you hear this clip somewhere, I love you. If you're breathing, I love you. Okay? Just remember that. We all need love. That's what we need. Everyone needs it. The human mind seeks it. And I'm here to give it to you. Okay? All right. But with that being said, this is Sunday Spreads, your one-stop shop for emotionalness. Hey, man. Love y'all. Keep it tight.